Jesus wants us, not anything we have. He have it all. All that is in this earth is His. We can't make something that Jesus don't have. We can't come up with an idea that Jesus don't have. We can't give Him anything. But too many times our flesh tells us if we do this and we do that and we say maybe a few Hail Marys, God would forgive me for what I'm thinking. That's the wrong premise. He has already forgiven you. He has already forgiven you. What he wants is for us now to live that way. To live that way with each other. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Where everybody, I can't even imagine what neighborhoods would be like. Oh man, it would be just too beautiful for words. He has everything to give, even Himself. Voila. He give even down to Himself. He give, like we would say in Barbados, lock, stock, and barrel. He gave everything. This parable is talking about His outrageous love for us. Matter of fact, all the parables is showing the character of God. If you look at the parable of the pearl, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the good Samaritan, if you look at the parable of the sons, the son that went off, the lost son that went off and come back with the pig muck on him. If you look at all of that, the truth is what God is really showing us is Himself. It's His tremendous love in everything. A woman lost the pearl and she sweeped the house clean to find it. That's Him. He will go to every length to get us back. He will go into the wilderness to get His sheep back. If one go, He didn't say if the majority go. He said if one go, He will go to find that one and bring that back, that one in His arms. That's how much He loved you. That's how much He loved all of us. And even those that are lost, He loved them. They don't know it, but He loves them. And this is where our love have to really stand up. Love people that are unlovable. Love people that are wicked. Because they themselves don't even know. We have to love people because God loves people. We can't choose who we love. We just know that we love. And if we have to encounter or come up against anybody, then the love of God should be there, speaking loud, not pressed down, but speaking loud. People say, well, I love everybody. Do you? I don't see it. I don't hear it. I can't tell. That's not how God wants us to love each other. He wants us to love each other so that it shines where other people would see that love and say, well, where you get that love from? Oh, that's my Father in me. That's the Holy Spirit in me. That's Jesus in me. Can I get some? Oh, it's unlimited. And it's unconditional. And it's for everyone. Come, let me tell you about that love. And that is when your mind is already filled with who God is. Because one time, I probably said this before, one time when I first moved to Detroit, it was so cold. And all my mind was telling me, what in the world am I doing here? And my face was tore up. And this woman, I was sitting in the car, and my husband was... He left, he went to the store, and I was sitting in the car, and this woman came by the car. And that is what, 40-some years ago now, and I remember it like day. I said, maybe it might have been an angel walking by there, because that woman smiled so deep and broad to me. It just changed my whole countenance. It changed my whole view, my whole perspective of what was going on in my life. And I can't, she ain't said a word. But I knew I knew what she was saying to me. And she said, her smile could have written a whole book on what she meant by that smile. And I thank God for that smile every time. And it has been like something to me, an example of what we really need to be like. Don't know her from Adam. Don't know if she's dead or alive. But I do know what she did. That simple thing of smiling. And it was not a little half smile. No. She showed me her whole inside. And I was able to live. When I say live, I mean I was able to come alive because of that smile. Jesus, as the story relates to believers, which Jesus makes clear is the idea at its conclusion. Jesus, this parable is to believers, because somebody that don't believe is not going to understand what he's saying. But you do. You do when you have everything inside of you to do it. We see a picture of God ruling a kingdom full of slaves that have been committed countless transgressions against him, accumulating a debt even more outstanding than 10,000 talents. Yes, our debt, 10,000 talents was nothing compared to what our debt cost Jesus Christ's life. Even if we wanted to pay God back, the amount of the offense is too great to repay. The obvious response, with or without time, would be for God to judge us for our debts. But God demonstrated. He demonstrated, and he is demonstrating, and he will demonstrate. It's continuous action. His love to us by forgiving our debts. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You'll find that in Romans 5:8. In this story, we see a picture of God's unmerited grace. The last point I want to give is, as Christians, we must extend forgiveness. So we read in Matthew 28, that servant went out and found one of the fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, started choking him, and said, pay what you owe. At this time, his fellow servant fell down and began to begging him. Same way he did. He fell down and asked God, and asked the king of the land to forgive him. Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he wasn't willing. How many of us knowingly or unknowingly exact from others what we were forgiven for? It's not something hard to do. Believe you me, it's not hard to do. Because too many times we live by the flesh, and the flesh is up in our face all the time, telling us what we should do. This is why it's so important to always stay in the Word. Keep the Word filled inside your mind and heart and soul. When the other servants saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. In verse 32, then after he had summoned him, his master said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. So also my heavenly Father will do to you unless every one of you forgive his brother or sister from the heart. Jesus' ability to capture the attention of his audience was on full display. Could you imagine what his disciples and everybody that was around there was thinking? Who? Remember, they come from three times we forgive each other. 100 denarii might have been 3 to 4 months of income. Certainly no small amount, but it paled in comparison to 10,000 talents. This slave, having just received forgiveness of his own massive debt, began choking his fellow slave for the same offense, yet with astronomical difference in proportion. The second slave responded exactly the same way as the first slave responded. He pleaded earnestly for time to repay. There are lots of different ways people plead for us to repay. And sometimes their pleading is not because they don't want to repay, but they grew up in a situation where this was the norm. They have to be taught. You have to be tender with them. You have to show the kind of forgiveness that is not just, okay, I forgive your debt, but one that have compassion, one that enables and help them to see the difference in their lives. Because in the end, it's not forgiveness. In the end, it is making that person a part of the family of God. That's your ideal. That's your goal. Your goal is that person be part of who God has called you to be part of. You are at Jesus' table, and he has room for everyone else. Anyone who wants to come and sit, he has that room. In conclusion, we are a people who have sinned greatly against God our Creator. Our debt is so massive that, like the first slave, we could never pay our king. In a gracious act, however, God sent Jesus, and by faith in him, God canceled our debts and forgave our rebellion. And we look at people that are rebellious now and doing their own thing and couldn't care less if there was a God in heaven or not. And sometimes our forgiveness is in our mind and what we think of them. And the lack of compassion, the lack of long-suffering, all those things are characteristics of Jesus Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. We should resemble those things. God sent Jesus, and by faith in him, God canceled our debt and forgiveness. Through Jesus' death on the cross for our sin in our place, we have received an incomprehensible forgiveness. We can't wrap our minds around what Jesus Christ has done for us. Don't take it lightly. Because ain't none of us here give our life for anybody. Even mothers that have little children. I had a child that died, and I know there are other people in here that had children that die. It's one of the hardest things to deal with. And if you ask us, we said we would say we would give our lives just for that child. But when it comes down to it, would we? Would we really do that? We don't see our sin as serious as God does. God doesn't grade us on the curve. Our sin is unforgivable and unfixable without what a just and loving God has done in Christ for us. We can't fix nothing ourselves, and nothing that we could do to take away one iota, not one jot, not one little tinksy-tinksy of what we have done. But Jesus did, so we don't have to. Yet often we fail to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, and in return to our sinful behavior, we willingly choose to withhold forgiveness from others. Jesus condemns this way of living for those who belong to his kingdom. And we all here who accepted Jesus Christ belong to that kingdom. So we have to live that way. We don't have a choice. We already made the choice. Even during his darkest hour of suffering on the cross, Jesus asked God to forgive his executioners. We're not suffering on a cross. We might not have enough money. But that's not... People say, well, that's your cross to bear. But I mean, the word cross, what we carry in the word cross, it pales in comparison to what Jesus Christ has done. And you see, even although we have crosses, Jesus said, bring them to me. Huh? So what do we have? He said, bring me all your burdens. Even then, he said, he would take care of them. When a proclaiming When a proclaiming Christian has difficulty forgiving others, it reveals a deep problem in the heart. In the worst of cases, one might ask, if a Christian has difficulty forgiving others, then has this Christian really understood the gospel? No! Because that's the good news. That's the gospel. The gospel is that you are forgiven. So you live that way. You live that way. And that is the way we live, because Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us. And if we have quenched the Holy Spirit, we go to God and ask God, God, forgive me. Peter's question, which frames the story for us, is an indication that we have much to learn about how to operate in Jesus' kingdom. Peter was around Jesus Christ, but he was still learning. But guess what? Peter didn't come powerful Peter until the Holy Spirit came and dwell in him. And when the Holy Spirit came on that Pentecost, Peter was able to get up and say, yes, this is the way. We have the Holy Spirit. We got to be able to say, yes, this is the way we live. We can't keep going on with the same old, same old, same old. What do we think about our lives in Christ? It's not for ourselves. When the end comes, the whole end of the story is that we to be together as one. How oneness can come about if we don't like somebody? I don't care what they have done. Jesus has a solution for that. And the solution is in him, because he's the one that forgives everything. If we fail to forgive, then judgment will come severely to us because we have not been transformed by the gospel. That's what the gospel is doing. It's little by little, it's transforming us from one to the next to the next. It should come a time. There was a time, I remember when my husband, we first got married, and oh my goodness, my husband would come home. I would have the food warming, 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 just keep warming, drying out. And I would, and the more it dried, the madder I would get. and by time he come home, I had full blast of the tongue. Wham! And years, as the years go on, I had to talk to God, and God tell me, this is not right. So I got to the point where I say, okay, God, when he comes home, I'm going to bite my tongue and I ain't going to say a word. Because I know he ain't changed his ways. He liked tool stores that got tools and bookstores. That was his. Oh, he can go and spend the whole evening and night in there. And forgot that I got food warming. And the children, matter of fact, my son told me to this not long. He told me, Mommy, I used to hate having to wait till Daddy come home to eat. But see, that's how I grew up. And that's all I knew. So the thing is, to get mad at him for doing, he messing up my schedule. You know? So the thing I realized, that hole in your town, it was, matter of fact, to this day I call it idolatry, because I was expecting I could do something about it. I was relying on me to change me. I wasn't being transformed by the gospel. I wasn't being transformed by the Holy Spirit day by day, guiding me and teaching me and helping me. I wasn't being transformed. I was being transformed by what I think was so right. I think I was so righteous. Oh, I knew God since I was little. I decided that this is the way I want to go since I was little. So righteous me, quote unquote, thought that I had it made in the shade. But no, we have to be transformed from the inside. And what I was trying to transform really was this. my flesh. God is telling us, the real us inside, that he loves. The one that he came and died for is the one that has to be transformed into like him, his image. God made us in his image, and he went to the cross to keep it true. It is true. He ain't going to change it now. So in closing, those who fail to forgive resemble followers who call out the Lord's name but are not known by him. Lord, Lord, when have you known us? Yeah, get away from me. But the Lord does not intimate, but the Lord knows intimately those whom he has forgiven. And they follow him in his example of forgiving. And the last sentence I have here is from David Wenham. He's a church leader. It is the essence of Christian discipleship, not just to love your neighbor in the way you would like to be treated, but also in the way you have been treated. So ask Jesus, how did you treat me? And gives your answer. Let's pray. Loving Father, we are so thankful for your word, Father. Your word, Father, to dwell in us, to transform our lives, Father, to strengthen us, Father. We know that we can come to you and have that transforming power to make all these things that you say to us possible. We thank you for your love, Father, and we ask your blessings on us as we go our way. Father, bless us now this week that we will stay close to you, just hear from you. Just do, just follow, just take a little step, just walk in that step, just keep our minds fixed on you, and that we may live in perfect peace. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.